Are you a pothead in the market for some new glass? Head to mota-glass.com and use our super secret stoner savings code MARIJUANETTAP4P on your next bong purchase at Latina-owned mota-glass.com. Vive Cosmetics, blunt-proof, bong-proof lippies. These lippies will survive the rotation. Use our discount code LOCATORARADIO15 today.
She's a depressed 20-something with a college degree, who copes with life by smoking too much weed, dodging cochinos as she rolls down the street.
Oye, mami, I wanna be your dog.
Aim higher, pendejo.
She's la marihuanera, as seen on IG.
That's me.
Marihuanera.
Hi, Mala. My name is Itzel. I just started listening to you in November. I just discovered you with your podcast, thanks to Spotify recommendations. And I just have fallen in love with you and the podcast. Like, Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads, has been my, like, ultimate daily, like, listen to, you know, like, I need to listen to it. I love all the representation that you have done for us Latina potheads. I just saw your interview on Univision and I just, like, fucking screamed, girl. Like, oh my gosh, you are so funny. You've actually taught me, like, a plethora of new vocabulary, to say the least. Like, you have taught me so many things and have made me see so many new perspectives, and I'm just so appreciative of you and this podcast. Like, my favorite interviews was with Sara. I love them. I just love all your interviews. I love all the advice that you have. Like, thank you so much for everything. Anyways, I have to go to work. Have a good day.
Hi, marihuaneras. How's it going? How's it hanging? How's it been? It's been way too long since we last spoke. That's what it's been. Welcome to season 2, episode 17 of Marihuaneta, a podcast for podheads, created, hosted, and written by me, Mala Munoz. Thank you to Itzel for that gorgeous beaut of a voice message. Head to locatoraradio.com and leave me your own voice message. You can subscribe to our newsletter, Besitos, while you're at it. That gives you all the info, all the invites, all the downloads, all the 411, all the updates, all the, you know, the skinny, the inside scoop, you know, the chisme. You get the previews of things before the general public does. And that way we can live in your inbox as well as in your ears. And isn't that everyone's dream? I have to say, a lot of strange things have been happening lately. I have got to believe that it is because of not only the Santa Ana winds. It's been windy, you guys. It's been so windy. It's been like real windy out here. Trees are falling over. Umbrellas are falling over. I'm falling over. Roller skaters are having a hard time skating against the winds. Like, it's actually so hard to roller skate when it's super windy. Like, it's just, like, it's chaotic. And I think it makes people, like, kind of lose it a little bit. And there's, like, an essay out there by some essayist, some writer, about how the Santa Ana winds makes people, like, lose it, kind of, like, be a little, like, you know, a little out of their ordinary vibe. So I also think it's because it's an election year and there was, like, a lunar eclipse, like, and, like, a blood moon recently. It was also just Friday the 13th, and I don't know enough about Mercury retrograde to blame it on astrology per se. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's always retrograde. Like, isn't it? It's like, it feels like it's retrograde every month. Like, I feel like my menstrual cycle has aligned with retrograde. Like, I'm not tapped in, but I think it's, like, lots of different things are contributing to the chaos. The city is in shambles. So am I. let me give you a little insight into what I mean. Today's little intro is going to be a list of all the weird, odd, scary, and uncomfortable things I have witnessed in the past couple weeks. And in the second half of the episode, we are actually going to be hearing from City Council District 1 candidate Eunices Hernandez, who has just been endorsed by the LA Times, has been endorsed by a ton of unions, is a first-time candidate running for political office against incumbent Gil Cedillo. And people are really, really believe in Eunices. I believe in Eunices. I met her years ago when I worked on a cannabis docuseries called Voices. It was about the role that Latinos have played and continue to play in the cannabis industry. It was produced by MeToo. It was a MeToo docuseries. It's up on YouTube. I interview on camera tons of Latinx people who are involved in cannabis through union work, through farm work, through working as bud tenders, you name it, the gamut. And Eunices was one of the people that I interviewed, and she was working on expungement clinics back then for folks whose lives have been ruined because of incarceration for, like, trumped up weed charges, and really working against the criminalization of this lifestyle and others, you know? So Eunices, among other things, is a local, is an LA girl, and has a lot to say about her plans for the future and why she's running. So that is going to come on the second half of this episode. But before we do that, you know I have shit to talk. You know I have things to rant and rave about. I have ramblings. And I'm going to talk to you just about what I've been living recently, because ultimately this podcast is nothing but my own audio journal. And thank you for coming along for the ride. So this Saturday, May 21st, we have Locatora Light. You can watch us work live and in person, direct from Chicali Studios in the heart of the LA Fashion District. This is an evening event. Diosa and I will be recording an episode of Locatora Radio, so you can join our live studio audience and literally watch us sit down and sound check and get our outlines together and record and, like, do what we do when we record an actual episode of Locatora Radio. Be part of our live studio audience. We're going to put that episode out on our RSS feed if we can capture the audio and it sounds good. But yeah, come through. This is not a party. This is not a show. This is a live session. And we are getting a little experimental. We usually just do, like, our big, like, party, Locatora Live, our anniversary show. But this year we want to do more events and we want to make them more intimate. So yeah, come through. Check out my Instagram at @Mala_Munoz. Check out our, again, website. Hit the link in my IG bio, like my link tree, because the link for the event is there, and all that good stuff. Yeah, come through. Okay, so yeah, weird things have been happening recently, and one strange occurrence was that I was robbed. Yeah, I parked my car and I had to go to work. I work at night somewhere at an undisclosed location sometimes, and when I got back to my car, my window was broken and my backpack was stolen. And yes, I know I shouldn't be keeping things in my car. You don't have to tell me that. I already fucking know. But, you know, sometimes you're just running around all day working and then you go to work again at your other job. And sometimes you just, you know, oh, I'm going to hide my stuff in the back seat under my chair and cover it with a little jacket or something. And I think that's good enough, and it's not good enough, and somebody sees it, and they smash your window, and then they take your backpack that just happens to be filled with your computer that you've had for years, like basically the entirety of your 20s, and your external drive, and yeah, guess what? Your joke notebook. Someone out there has a notebook filled with my bad jokes. Like, someone out there is reading my chicken jokes. And let me just tell you, listeners, I just hope they're laughing. Like, I just hope that they're laughing. I would be so disappointed if they cracked open my joke notebook and they were like, this shit is trash. God help me. So, that being said, this is also my second time recording this episode. I sat down and I laid down some tracks. I had skits. I had little songs. But GarageBand corrupted and truncated my files, apparently, and I give up. So you'll get those skits and such next week. And I know it's been a minute since I released my last episode. Marihuaneta is technically a weekly podcast. It just doesn't come out every week. Remember that this is a Locatora production, meaning Marihuaneta lives in the Locaverse, meaning I make my own rules over here. I'm the law around here. Just kidding, ACAB. So, you know, I had to get up and my recording routine. You know, I like to walk my dog or let him out and light my joint, pour myself a black coffee, unplug my white fridge because it's very noisy and my mic does pick it up, and hit record so I can get you this content. So another odd thing, a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago now, I was driving and I noticed a trash can on fire, like not far from where I live. And I was like, what the heck? And I called the fire department and I was like, hey guys, like I saw this trash can on fire, thought you should know. And the man who answered the phone, like a firefighter, I'm assuming, or at least the firehouse telephone operator, switchboard attendant, whoever, I don't know the job title. I don't know. He was like, you saw a trash can on fire and you just drove past it. That's what he asked me on the phone. Like, why would he ask me that? Like, what am I supposed to do? Pull over and put out the fire? I don't have anything in my car that I could use to put out a fire. Like, I'm a fucking stoner. And so I have cotton mouth all the time, so I always have like a beverage on me, but like my iced coffee is not gonna put out the trash fire that's been raging for at least 20 minutes, it seems. And like, that's why I called you guys, because you guys have like hoses. So a few weeks later, I once again am driving, and because that's what you do when you live in LA, you drive. That's what we do here. Oh, like I'm gonna go to LA. I'm gonna go hang out. I'm gonna go to the beach. What do you do in LA? What do you do in LA? We drive. That's what we do. What do we do in LA? We drive. I'm driving. So I'm driving again, and I notice three trash cans, different trash cans, same street, fucking melted to the ground and trash strewn about. It was so wild. And I'm like, please don't set my house on fire. That would suck. That would suck a lot. That would really suck. I was driving to work. Another like strange, awkward, scary thing that happened. I was driving to work and I hear, as I'm driving down the street, and mind you, I'm in downtown, and you know, there's a lot of like, no left turns, no right turns, one way only, no U-turns. And so it's not exactly easy to like switch directions when you're driving in downtown LA, especially when there's traffic. And it's like just the height of chaos, the height of chaos. So I'm driving and I hear behind me what sounds like a soda can being crushed. And I keep driving because we have a green light and there's cars in front of me, cars behind me. It's one lane on each side, you know, no U-turns, one-way streets, as far as, you know, the intersections that we're coming upon, and the cross streets are one-way streets. So I hear this this sound like crushing metal, and I look in my rearview mirror and I see what appears to me to be the aftermath of a car hitting a cyclist. And the cyclist is like getting up, and that driver like sped away. And there were other people around, and like people like ran up to the cyclist, and like other cars pulled over, and like I called also in 911. I find myself calling 911 a lot when I'm driving because I fucking see things and I'm like, this person is in danger. Something bad just happened. You know, like it's usually like, oh my God, somebody has just gotten hurt or somebody's about to get hurt. Like bad things happen. And then I'm like, okay, like 911, like we need an ambulance. You know what I mean? Like we need emergency medical attention here. So, they're like, somebody already called, you know, they're sending an ambulance, you know? And I'm like, oh shit. And then I'm driving. I come upon a three car collision, but it's like a Mini Cooper, some other car, and then a fucking bus, dude. Like, what is it? The dash bus. And I'm like, what in the heck is going on? And then somebody that I know told me that they got jumped that same day. Yeah. 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 And then a different day. And then a different day. So I thought that I was late on my period. And I was like, I have no reason to be. This doesn't make any sense. So I'm not going to freak out. But I was kind of freaking out. So naturally, like, to decompress, I went roller skating in Venice. And the second I sat down, I felt a blood clot slither down my vaginal walls and onto my chonies, as they tend to do. So I already had my skates on. And I was like, fuck it. Like, I roller skated over to the bathrooms. But of course, the bathrooms closest to like the Venice like skate plaza, they were all closed. So I had to go into the porta potty with my roller skates on. But I didn't have a tampon or a pad with me. So I had to like fashion a makeshift pad out of toilet paper. But I was also wearing a one-piece bathing suit with jeans because I went to Venice to roller skate. So I'm in like my fucking little cute little fucking skate look. You know, I'm wearing a fucking bathing suit with side boob over ripped up jeans, and I'm in my roller skates, and now I'm in a porta potty, and I'm not hovering over the fucking toilet, the gaping hole that leads to hell. I'm trying to stay as far away from it as possible without tipping the whole thing over and like balancing on my roller skates, and I have to like pull down my one-piece bathing suit, the top part, so that I can get to the bottom part, and I have my jeans kind of undone so that I can make this makeshift pad out of toilet paper. And so my titties are out, they're flailing to and fro, you know, here and there, near and far, and I'm like balancing on my skates, and I'm like, just thank God that I've been practicing, because I would have been head first into the fucking toilet if I was a weaker skater. I would have toppled over, horrible things would have happened, but I fucking did it, dude. I did it. I mean, come on. And I got myself together and I got out of there and I continued to fucking skate. I survived. I'm exhausted from this list of weird happenings, but they're all true. They all happened. And now, maybe allegedly, apparently, this is a comedy podcast after all. I have to say these things for legal reasons. Do not come for me. I have unpaid parking tickets and I don't want them to look into me any further. So now a word from our sponsor. Listen up, Marihuanetas. If you have been listening to Marihuaneta, a podcast for potheads, since season 1, episode 1, you know I like to light up when I smoke. I mean smoke up when I light. I mean get lit when I record. And these days, I've been smoking flower from Mexican-American-owned Salinas-based cannabis brand, Humo. This is a brand spanking new cannabrand that just launched. And I have to say, this weed is not only delish, it also hits in all the right ways. And Humo has a true mission of accessibility, quality, diversity, and ultimate uplift. You know that this podcast, Marihuaneta, is all about celebrating la vida marihuanera, la marihuanidad, and normalizing our relationship to flower. Well, the folks behind Humo feel the exact same way that we do. And let me just say, as a conscious cannabis consumer, I'm trying really hard to support cannabis brands that are POC owned and led. There aren't that many, but Humo is turning out to be that girl. Don't just take it from me. Tune into episode 16 of Marihuaneta with Humo brand partner and Mota Glass co-founder, Susie Greens. Do it. Do it now. Susie dishes all about the innovative, eco-friendly grow techniques that the Possible Project utilizes to cultivate Humo flower. Want to light up and enjoy some umo while you listen to new episodes of Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads? Well, walk into your local dispensary and ask them to carry umo today. Trust me, it works. Umo wants you to feel empowered as potheads to ask dispensaries where you shop to carry the brands that most speak to your stoner soul. Remember, where there's fuego, there's umo. And now, it is time for the main feature event of today's episodio. We have a very special interview with CD1 candidate Eunices Hernandez. And I know what you're thinking out there. You're thinking, oh my God, Mala is in bed with big cannabis and the city council. Well, not fucking yet, bitch. We gotta get Eunices elected first. And Gil Cedillo's team, if you're listening, stop slandering Eunices and accusing her of, like, allegedly bringing drugs into our communities and all the other ridiculous things you guys are sprinkling out there. It's just ridiculous. We gotta decriminalize cannabis. We gotta release all prisoners locked up for petty weed offenses. We have to expunge records. We have to bring equity and access into the cannabis industry. We gotta fix our housing problem. We're in a housing crisis. And I know a lot of my listeners live in LA, live in CD1. And it is exactly for that reason that I wanted to bring Eunices onto Marihuanera specifically to talk about cannabis, to talk about her platform, to talk about the election, to talk about the race, to talk about everything, and to talk about the issues that she wants to tackle. And I want you all to be able to hear directly from her in an, you know, just hear her story and hear her speak and get a sense of this newcomer in the LA political scene. So do your own research. Gil Cedillo has been around for fucking ever. There's been a bajillion opportunities for him to talk and give interviews and spread his fucking message. And the other career politicians out here have had decades of press and exposure and talking time. So we're trying to make up for that and give you an opportunity to get to know Eunices and why people like Dolores Huerta and even whoever the fuck, you know, everybody is endorsing her. Tig Notaro is endorsing her. Okay. Like, what else you need to hear? I'm endorsing her. Eunices for CD1, bro. So tune in, always do your own research, but light up and go out and vote, hoes. All right, let's jump into it. Eunices Hernandez, candidate running for City Council District 1. Welcome to Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. I am thrilled to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Woo, thank you so much for having me. I feel right at home.
100%. We have done interviews and IG lives and worked together in the past. So when I heard that you were running for City Council, I just knew that I had to have you on the show. I wanted to give you the space and the platform to just introduce yourself to my listeners because you're a fresh face in politics here in Los Angeles. You've been around, you've been doing amazing work. I know your work from your initiatives such as Measure J, your work with La Defensa. Back in the day, I interviewed you for a docuseries about Latinos and cannabis, and you were talking about your work in expungement and decriminalization and equity. You're from Los Angeles. You are truly of the community and of the people, and you're running against an incumbent, Gil Cedillo, and Angelenos know that name. Gil Cedillo has been around for a long time. That's like legacy LA politics. And so we have an opportunity now to introduce a young Latina to the fold. So Eunices, welcome. Please say hello to all the marihuanetas out there who are toking and listening in right now.
Yes. Hello, hello. Buenas tardes. Buenos dias. Hello. Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. I hope you're doing well. Very excited to be on here and talk about this work, amazing work that we've been doing.
Yes, Eunices, take us through the journey. You've been doing your activism work. You've been doing equity work here in LA. What was the moment that you started to think about running for office, and how has cannabis figured into that specifically? I really want to know about cannabis and your platform in particular.
Thank you for that question. You know, one of the things that motivated me to really run was seeing our young people and seeing our elders being left in the dust, right? We see where our budgets are going. Our budgets are going in mostly into carceral responses. We have senior centers that have not opened. We don't have places for young people to go to. And so I'm like, someone needs to step up because there's been a lack of leadership. This, you know, he does represent the legacy politics. But when you look at the last 9 years that we've had him representing us, what do we have to show for it? Not very much. In Highland Park, the Latino population has decreased by 10%. And that's not by accident. You know, that's rent increases. That's people being evicted. And he's been the chair of the housing committee, which means that this is a committee where all the policies decided around housing, how to protect renters, making sure that rent doesn't go up. He's been the chair for 9 years and we don't have, you know, strong renter protection. So I did want to uplift that, you know, I'm going against this huge, you know, establishment, you know, person, but you know, if you compare our track records, we've done a lot more work in community that you've talked about. And, you know, we met when Prop 64 had just passed. We had begun to implement that. And what do we mean by implement is by doing these expungement clinics so that we can clear some of these convictions that people were experiencing. We talked about my friend who in 2011 got a conviction for selling weed. His life was destroyed after that. He still hasn't recovered from that, you know? And it's also, though, another piece of the Prop 64 that we have not talked about, this ballot initiative that legalized and regulated marijuana in California. But it also created a tax system where, yeah, right now it's being taxed really high and we should lower it because a lot of folks cannot afford it. But the taxes that are being paid now, at least at the state level, they're going to funding youth programs, you know, access to mental health and drug treatment. 60% of that money is going to youth, which is phenomenal. But at the county level, there has not been a policy to dictate where that money should go to, where that LA County tax should go to. And this is where we talk about the city, because the city of LA has not invested its cannabis tax dollars back into community. It's giving most of those tax dollars to LAPD. And so when we think about this money should be thought about as giving back to the community, as repairing the harms of the war on drugs, of investing it in youth. And so being on city council, this is one of the things that I'm going to scream at the top of my lungs, is to readdress and reinvest those cannabis tax dollars back into community, to stop the prosecution and arrest of people who work in dispensaries. Why are we doing that? And to create true and equitable pathways so people who have been impacted by the war on drugs can actually have a seat at the table of ownership, not just giving them first access to licensing, you know, making sure that we actually do that truly, but even thinking about how do we give them access to infrastructure such as a building. You know, that's one of the biggest barriers to be able to launch a cannabis business is having the space. So there's so many more things that the city we could do that we could use the cannabis tax dollars to do that we're not doing, and which I'm going to, you know, again, push as far as I can, as hard as I can, because, you know, it's our communities that have been most devastated and it's our communities that are least invested in.
This is so important, because back when we met, and this was a few years ago now, part of the main, I guess, thesis of the Latinos in Cannabis docuseries was not only is Latino labor, Black and Brown labor, really the spine and the core and the backbone and the foundation of the cannabis industry, not only like popularizing the consumption and selling of cannabis, but also in the legal market, people who are cultivating the weed, packaging the weed, selling the weed, doing all the labor. And a lot of the consumers are people of color, are Latinos. Mm-hmm. However, those folks have also historically gotten the brunt of criminalization and convictions, like your friend. I remember you talking about your friend back then, and this is the same person now that you're talking about. And something that has been kind of going on in an effort to combat that and to rectify that post-legalization have been like these equity licenses. And there's like a cannabis bureau basically within the city. I don't know if listeners know this at home, but the city of LA has its own like cannabis department, and they review the applications and stuff for licenses and for permits so that people can open up their legal weed businesses and their legal dispensaries. And I know that on the equity side of things, the idea has been to give those impacted by criminalization who have gotten arrested, who have spent time in prison, now the opportunity to get their foot in the door legally. But there's been a lot of issues and bureaucracy. And my understanding is very few of the applications have actually even been processed. Mm-hmm. And it's been years, right? And it's the same applications, essentially, even from mm-hmm. when we were talking. Can you talk mm-hmm. to us a little bit more about, like, I don't think our listeners truly understand, like, how entrenched cannabis and the city are with one another.
Yes. And, you know, this is a political decision that the licenses are not out there, that they're not being given to people because people have applied, you know, and still the city has done everything in its power not to implement, not to move things forward. They did appoint someone to lead that department, but no one else on the city council has been pushing for the actual investment in that infrastructure so we can get more people licenses, so we can get them subsidized, you know, infrastructure and buildings. Who's talking about that? No one. And so that's what's missing here is a leadership, someone who's taking a leadership role on cannabis, the implementation of Prop 64, because it has not truly been implemented here in LA City at all. I mean, yeah, think about the licenses, think about the, you know, the tax money, so much money, and it's going to LAPD when it could be going to young people. You know, it's a lot. It's very frustrating because this passed in 2016. It's 2022, you know, and the only reason why it hasn't been effectively implemented is because bureaucracy is slowing it down. You know, they know how much money is coming in. They don't have an incentive to bring up this conversation because it's going, you know, to where they want it to go instead of where it needs to go.
Fascinating. Because at the same time, there's still a lot of like fear mongering amongst politicians in their public facing rhetoric about cannabis. Okay, true or false? Is Gil Cedillo engaging in a little bit of a smear campaign against you on the cannabis front and like kind of labeling you as bringing drugs into the neighborhood, which is the oldest, most tired, most 1980s like bullshit I have ever heard? And the fact that the LA City Council is still on this tip with the amount of money, innovation, and just growth in the legal sector, it's the fact that they're happening at the same time is just, it blows my mind. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what happened?
Yes. So Gil Cedillo put out an attack flyer against me saying, I want to legalize all drugs and I want to get everybody out of prison and jail. And you know what? It's a misrepresentation of the work. Yes, we work to legalize and regulate marijuana. But right now we're having people die of overdoses in record numbers. In the Starbucks a couple of minutes away from my house, someone overdosed in the bathroom. And so we need to implement harm reduction programs. In New York, they have safe consumption sites. This is something that I've also been pushing for since 2015 to have in LA City and the state of California. And so, I mean, we're just really behind on the solutions that keep people safe and alive. And again, a political decisions to move us backwards because they don't benefit from providing these services, but our communities benefit, right? People won't die from drug use. And so that ad is just a misrepresentation of that work. But even let me take it back to where you said, I want to get people out of prison and jail. In LA County, there are over 6,000 people who are simply in jail because they don't have the money to pay to get out. That's the only reason. They're legally innocent. They're being held pre-trial. And in others, we've been pushing for policies to get people access to text reminders because they have people in jail, one, because they can't make bail, but they're like, we want to make sure they return to court. A text reminder and a car ride and daycare will get someone to court. Why are we not doing these things? And so, yes, I'm pushing for policies to get people out of jail because not having money shouldn't be an excuse of you still being in jail. And so even then, there's something called naloxone that is an overdose like antidote that he has supported, and I've been supporting for a long time, but he supported a ordinance to expand access to naloxone. So he understands we're on some of the same pages with some of these things. And so the fact that he came for me on that is just that he knows that there's still a lot of stigma around drug use. There's a misunderstanding of our community of what that actually means, because let's all take a step back and let's think about, you know, people like Demi Lovato, Lindsay Lohan, people who have access to money, to services. You know, they are not criminalized like our communities are. The communities that we want to see here today with access to services is not a pie in the sky thing. The safest communities are the most resourced. And that's why I have been pushing for these things. But that attack ad, you know, it's just one of many attacks that we've gotten. You know, the patriarchy is not happy that we are moving this forward. I'm experiencing a lot of attacks from, you know, mostly men, older Latino men coming for me. It's just it's just wild. I cannot wrap my mind around men that are like, you know, my dad's age coming for me and talking smack on Facebook. Someone literally made a TikTok video talking smack because I got highlights in my hair. And so, yeah, it's like the intimidation that we have been experiencing going against these incumbents. Not like that, the attack ad is public, but what we're experiencing in the campaign internally, I mean, I'm trying to talk about it publicly so people know, so we're safer, but it's just, it's heavy.
Very heavy. And I wish that I could say that I was shocked and surprised, but I'm not, because on Locatora Radio, we've done a Latinas in Politics series. We have interviewed other Latinas in the greater LA area in the county who have run for office in different places, including Yasmin Ferrada, who ran for a council seat in Whittier several years ago now against a Republican white incumbent. And on the podcast, you all can go and listen to that interview. She spoke about her friends and family receiving threatening phone calls and text messages and all kinds of wild stuff going on. Lots of threatening behavior. We've experienced, even with our podcasting, older Latino men, like you said, the patriarchy is unhappy and they take it out in these online and however they do it. And it's really unfortunate. It's embarrassing. I mean, qué pena, like qué vergüenza, like, but they really are afraid. They really are afraid. And I think Gil Cedillo was very afraid of you. Mm-hmm. I think Gil Cedillo is scared. I think they all are.
I agree. You know, I was asked in an interview whether I was intimidated or not. And I was like, you know, if you compare track records, if he actually had done something in the last 9 years that was impactful beyond a Band-Aid on an arterial bleed, then let's talk about it. But he hasn't. Like, I've lost too many loved ones and friends that don't live here anymore because of his political decisions and because who's he's taking money from? Over $500,000 from developers, Airbnb, companies that have helped get people evicted that I love. So it's just like, no, I'm not, because community's behind me. Our average donation is less than $100 and we've raised over $350,000. And so it's not like we're not playing, you know, we're bringing people together to make this happen because they want it.
I love to see it. And so for the listeners at home who are wondering, we have a lot of listeners all throughout LA, and I know we have plenty of listeners in your district, Council District 1. Can you talk a little bit about the communities in your council district? Maybe our listeners don't even realize they live in your district, and how they can get involved, how they can support, how they can learn more.
Yes, thank you. So our district on the north tip is Highland Park, Glassell Park, Lincoln Heights, Cypress Park, MacArthur Park, Pico Union, Mount Washington, Angelino Heights, University Park, and everywhere in between that area. We're literally like the heart of LA, where like most of the freeways are on our borders. And we have Chinatown. We have places where we have a lot of elders, people who are monolingual Chinese speakers, Korean speakers, Spanish speakers, mostly migrant communities. And the one thing just to uplift, that in New York, migrants can vote in municipal elections. Because our migrant communities pay taxes. So the fact that they can't vote locally here, that's a political decision. Again, I just want to highlight that, but the power that we could have if our migrant communities could vote, but that's where we are. And so, you know, let's see, how can people get involved? Yes. So we have 14 days until ballots drop into mailboxes. May 9th, that's when people start receiving ballots. And so from now until, I mean, and then election day is June 7th. Which is about 44 days away. So from now until those two dates, we need as many people as possible to uplift our campaign, to register to vote, to encourage others to vote, because this is not a presidential election cycle. This is just local elections and state and assemblies, but this is the moment to plug in, because locally, this has the most direct impact on your life, more than the federal level. You know, this is your surroundings, your sidewalks, your lights. And so the next time we can change this seat is in 2026. That's four budget cycles away, each budget being $11 billion. That's 4 years where we could pass laws to protect people and keep them housed, or continue to sell off our communities piece by piece and helping gentrification take over. And so now is the time to step up. If you want a canvas and door knock, we can do that. We'll train you. If you want a phone bank because you don't want to go outside, we can phone bank, text bank. If you want to help, you know, create like art and uplift art or music, whatever it is your lane that you have, that you communicate with your people, please communicate that our election cycle is that our race is coming up, and we don't go till November. Many races, you'll see that they'll go till November, the general election. We will not, because it's only me against the incumbent. So whoever gets the most votes in June wins it. So we need everybody. We need a historic amount, a tidal wave of support to get this person out, who's literally, again, has sold our communities out right under us.
It's really, it's go time. It's crunch time. You know, there are certain things that I think are so easy to fly under the radar. I think when AOC was running and AOC was campaigning, it was momentous for a lot of reasons. I think that your campaign is similarly momentous for its own set of reasons that are not that far off, right? Mm-hmm. The incumbent that you're running against, you're a young woman of color, you have this background in equity and just on the ground, everyday work in the community. And I think that it's important for us to really like talk about you and talk about this and talk about those similarities and to really like really encourage for our folks out there to participate in this historic moment. Because if we can win this election, if we can win this seat for you, if we can get out and really organize people and get these votes out, it could be huge. So for those who are listening at home who maybe have never voted in a city council election, which, you know, no shame, it's not something that we're really like, we need more education, we need more access, we need more resources around our local elections. We get really bogged down into the mayor, you know, into the governor, into the president, into our senators. But like you said, Onises, like in LA in particular, the city council is very powerful. The LA city council is a big deal, lots of money, lots of resources, lots of power, lots of direct impacts on our neighborhoods. So for those who are out there who maybe have never voted in a city council election, can we have some like real step-by-step in the weeds, how to register to vote, what to look out for, where to go, what do folks need to know to make sure that they're voting for you in this upcoming election?
Thank you so much, Mala. So 14 days until ballots in mailboxes, but that means you still have enough time to register to vote online. So just go to Register to Vote California and the website will pop up. Many different languages you can pick from. And it's easy. It takes less than 5 minutes to register to vote. And it takes less than 2 minutes to check your voter registration status. Let's say you don't remember. Like, oh, I don't remember if I registered to vote. Or maybe I haven't changed my address or I need to update it. It takes less than 2 minutes. We have been literally doing it at the door with people because we want to make sure you need to register and you need to vote. And so that's how the simplest way to do it is online. And then, sorry, Mala, what was the
thing that I just thought of? You know, I think a lot of us live in multi-generational homes. We live with our families. Yes. Lots of my listeners live with their families. And when we vote in my house, we kind of get together and vote as like a house and a block. And one of us will do research and tell everybody like, okay, this is how I think we should vote. I would love for you to talk about, is this a strategy our listeners should be employing with their families? If they're living at home, maybe their relatives haven't voted in city council. How can folks even organize just within their own houses?
That's a beautiful example, Mala, of what we all need to be doing. You know, both like parents, you know, I've heard it on both sides, parents providing political education to their young people, because young people right now are jaded too. And they don't want to vote. They're like, you know, what is my vote going to do when all of these people are sold out already? That's what I'm hearing constantly in MacArthur Park from Las Mamas. But this process right here of bringing people together at home is something we need to keep doing. And, you know, there's a couple of resources. You can go to NOC LA. You know, they have a wonderful voter guide. You can go to La Defensa. You know, you think about who to vote for a judge. Like, there's so many judges that are up for election. We don't really know who they are. La Defensa has a voter guide of judges, a slate of judges you can vote for. So there are many resources, but I think this practice is one of those practices of like, you know, a cafecito model, you know, a dinner model where you're at the table breaking bread with your family. And sometimes it's to talk about issues that are pretty intense, but you know, this, we need to do this work. If the outside is not going to provide the information for us, you know, what you're talking about cultivating at home is what we all need to have and take the responsibility to do an initiative to do with our loved ones.
Love it. Eunices Hernandez, candidate for Council District 1 here in the city of Los Angeles. Any final words that you would like to share with our listeners, with your potential future constituents who are listening right now?
Yes. Thank you so much, Mala, for the time and the opportunity to be able to join you to share this, our campaign with you, a labor of love. You know, the team that we have built to run this campaign is femme-led, queer-led, people who have been mostly from this district or have been displaced from the district. It's very important for me to create opportunities for people to learn so that they can get more skills and make more money, right? To commodify the things that they learn so they can survive in this environment. And the same thing we'll do on city council. You know, we have fresh ideas. We're innovative. The things that we want to do are not pie in the sky. Other countries, other states are implementing these things effectively. And so when you look at that attack ad, when you look at other things that people will bring up about my lack of experience, I have experience. I have nearly a decade of experience getting laws passed and signed by governors at the state level. I have moved hundreds of millions of dollars from local money into community, from state money down to community. And so I'm 32 years old, but I've done the labor. I'm a survivor of violence. That's one of the reasons why I fight for reforms on the carceral system. And so I just, and abolition as well, because I do think that we need to be leaning on other responses. It's not going to happen one day or another, but it's about the decisions you make about not leaving people behind, about not building something we'll destroy, have to destroy in the future, not giving more money and more power to the systems that harm us. And so these are the values that we're going to bring to City Hall. You know, you look at who's donated to our campaign. I just put a tweet about it. So you can look up all our donations. You'll see they come from community. They don't, we've gotten thousands of dollars from developers and have refunded that money back because we are not sold out. And so please, just if you, the last thing you hear from me on this is vote, register to vote, tell everybody you know to vote, because it does make an impact on your life. And if the last 9 years have been terrible, it's because of political decisions by our current representative. And so I want to fight for something different, and I hope you vote. Thank you. And vote for us.
Vote for Eonisa's for the People. You guys would be surprised by how slim a margin elections are won and lost by. At the city council level, like you said, it's only two candidates. It could be a couple hundred votes that make the difference, literally, yes, and truly. So your vote actually really does count in these city council elections. Well, that's all, folks. Thank you for visiting the podcast today. Go out and vote, people.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Thank you, Mala. That was awesome.